Well, good morning, everybody. So Jesus tells Peter in the gospel today, "Get behind me, Satan." And there is a little joke that picks up on this lovely line. Struggling to make ends meet, the newly ordained deacon was livid when he confronted his wife who had presented a who brought home a receipt for $250 that she spent on a dress. He said, "How could you do this? You know we don't have the money." And she says, "Well, I was outside the store and I was looking at the dress in the window, and it's like Satan was whispering in my ear louder and louder, 'You have to buy that dress. You look stunning.'" The deacon said, "Well, you know what I do when I'm presented with a temptation is I just say, 'Get behind me, Satan.'" And she said, "Well, I said those exact words. But then Satan said, 'Well, it looks really good from that angle, too.'" All right. Folks, our gospel today does make mention of Peter, the first pope. There are the pope trivia. There are three popes mentioned by name in the good book in the Bible. Pope Peter, all over the place. The second pope, Pope Linus, is mentioned in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 21. And the third pope, Pope Clement the First, is mentioned in Philippians chapter 4, verse 3. So three of our popes, we're on number 266 right now. Three of them are mentioned in the Bible. All right, I was thinking of this beautiful line. Jesus says, "Who do you say that I am?" In other words, Jesus had kind of run the survey to see what people were saying about him, who they thought he was. And then he looks at them in the eye and he says, "But who do you say that I am?" In other words, Jesus is saying, "I want a personal relationship with you, not with humanity in general, with you." And that's a game changer. And what happens when we have that beautiful relationship with Jesus that's truly alive, and we're not just kind of going the frozen chosen, you know, as they say, going through the motions. But like last night, I went to confession to Father Paul, had dinner with him, and what a guy. And he was reminding me that when I pray my Liturgy of the Hours, which I made a promise to do 5 times a day, I confess that I go really fast sometimes and that my heart isn't always in it. He says, "When you pick up that breviary, I want you to have an intention to give praise to God every time. And then it's not just hollow words. It's truly a prayer of praise." And I was, wow. You know, and like, that's when we have a real relationship with Jesus. St. James in our second reading that Deegan read so beautifully is beautiful. Like that's what happens, is that we have these works that just overflow. And what do we mean by works? We mean like the good things that we're doing overflow from that dynamic relationship with Jesus. St. James in the Martin Luther called the letter of St. James the epistle of straw. He tried to get it out of the Bible because he didn't like it. He said, "You Catholics are too worried about works." And to which we Catholics say, "No, we're not. We're worried about faith." But if there is no faith, then the works, there are no works. But if the faith is real, then the works naturally come. Like, it's natural. It's a natural byproduct of that faith, is that that we overflow with acts of love and charity and faith and goodness. But that flows from this relationship with Jesus and from this living faith, this personal relationship with our Christ. Pope Francis said in this really great line, oh my gosh, in this, and he wrote this thing called Laudato Si. And in paragraph 71, he's talking about Genesis chapter 6, which is where God looks upon the wickedness of humankind, and he realizes the depravity to which they have fallen. and the bloodshed, the violence, the anger, all the sins, God is looking down and is going, what have you people done? And in Genesis chapter 6, he even says, it got so bad that God looks down and he wishes that he hadn't made humankind. Until he looks down and he sees a man whose name is Noah. And Noah, unlike the rest of fallen humanity, had God at the center of his life and of his heart and of everything. And he looks at this just man, and there's hope again. And Pope Francis says, all it takes is one good person to restore hope. Isn't that beautiful? All it takes is one good person in a relationship with Jesus to restore hope. I was thinking, of course, yesterday of the anniversary of 9/11, and I remember that day. And we remember the depravity, the bloodshed, the violence, exactly the things that God looks down in Genesis chapter 6 and realizes what humans have done. And yet, in the midst of all of that, there were people who restored hope. The firefighters, the police, the first responders, some priests who died giving last rites. And those, God sends these people to restore hope. These people. And folks, I was just thinking that that's the way it is in our life. That there are people who have a relationship with Jesus, and it's so beautiful, and they restore our hope. I was thinking of, a whole list of people. A friend who walks into your life at just the right time. A text message or a phone call that comes to you when you need it at the most. A coworker who pats you on the back and says, hang in there, it'll be okay. A young person who helps you realize that the next generation isn't totally lost. A young man who says, yes, I wish to give my life to God and serve him as a priest. Send me. A beautiful newborn child or an unborn child, a grandchild who throws her arms around you and tells you how much she loves you, a coach who says, don't give up, you can do it, a nurse who still smiles at you even though she's worked 12 hours straight, someone who prays for you, a good Samaritan who comes by just when you need it the most, a teacher who believes in you and dares to care about you as a person. A parent who gives another chance and another chance and another chance to their kid. A priest who forgives the sin that has plagued you forever and who gives your loved ones last rites. These are people that who God sends, and they restore our hope. And I just want us to pause for a moment of silence and close our eyes and think about, in your heart, somebody who has restored your hope, and then say a prayer of thanksgiving for them. And like, our job is to be people who have such a powerful personal relationship with Jesus that we restore hope wherever we go. That we incarnate love and charity in this world, and that in all of the broken, dark places, we go there, and we who are alive in Christ restore that hope that comes from a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And my friends, that's our call, that's our honor, that's our privilege. It's our duty, our responsibility, and our true and lasting salvation. Let's do it well. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.